It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball.
Jell-O, everybody.
Yes, it's the new gay family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning. Brought to you by the Jell-O family of desserts.
J-E-L-L. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O puddings.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O nut. Fiocca puddings, yes, sirree.
And now, transcribed, Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper. Two people who live together and like it. Well, let's look in on the Coopers and see what they're doing. It's morning, and George Cooper is seated alone at the breakfast table. Liz is helping Katie in the kitchen by fixing the toast.
Liz, is the toast ready yet?
Just a minute, dear. Now it's ready.
Liz, what was that noise I heard?
Nothing. Oh, how do you want it scraped, dear? Light, medium, or charcoal broiled?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Well, if you hadn't heard me, you'd never know the difference. Here you are.
Well, Liz, you scraped it too hard. It's back to bread again.
Well, I can't help it. It's a toaster's fault. If you'd fix half the things around
now,
here...
Now, wait a minute. I did fix the toaster. I tightened the spring yesterday so the toast would pop up better.
Oh, you did that. Mm. Well, you made the spring too tight, and you better apologize to Katie.
Katie? What for?
She fell into the sink running back to catch a high fly.
No.
Yes. If that ever learns to throw a curve, we're really in trouble.
Well, it's a perfectly good toaster. I'll try to fix it.
You'll try to fix it.
Well, what do you want me to do, buy a new one?
Either that or get Katie a fielder's mitt. Oh, let's not fight so early in the morning, dear.
All right, we'll wait a while.
Ah, you're so cute. Give me a kiss.
Somehow I feel this is going to end up in a new toaster.
Don't be silly. Your morning kisses are like coffee to me. That's how I wake up.
Liz, I have a confession to make.
What?
My caffeine's been removed.
Oh. That's silly. Come here. Sanka.
You're welcome.
Oh, isn't it wonderful, George? No matter what we argue about, a kiss from you fixes everything. You could get around anybody with a kiss.
Really? Mm. Well, when I get to work, I'll try it on Mr. Atterbury.
Oh, George. What's that?
What's that?
It's from the kitchen. Katie, what's going on out there?
Look out, look out. Run for your lives.
What's the matter?
What's happened?
The automatic dishwasher, it's gone crazy.
Broken again.
It certainly is. It threw every dish in the kitchen at me, and it's trying to climb into the cupboard to get some more.
Oh, now, Katie, you mustn't be upset. It's not that tragic.
Oh, I can't help it, Mrs. Cooper. That thing hates me.
Well, you go back to the kitchen and get even with it. Pull its plug out.
Yes, ma'am.
George, I'd like to talk to you about a new dishwasher.
Kiss me, Liz.
Oh, no. With the toaster, it just meant burned toast. This time, we may lose Katie.
Oh, that's ridiculous. What's the matter? Can't she wash dishes in a pan like everybody else?
Well, she's had the dishwasher so long, she might resent it and quit. And you know we can't find anyone nearly as wonderful as she is.
What are you women coming to that you have to be pampered with electrical gadgets?
We are not pampered.
Well, the wives of our ancestors didn't have dishwashers. Pioneer women didn't have a lot of electrical appliances to do their housework.
Of course they didn't. And where are those women today? Dead.
Well, I'm not buying Katie a new dishwasher, and you can tell her so.
Well, I'll tell you the truth, George. I was thinking, if we don't have a dishwasher and it's Katie's night off, I'll be washing the dishes.
I thought so.
Oh, I don't care for myself. But when you come home and you greet me and you kiss my hands...
Yeah?
You'll get dishpan lips. Katie, I'm afraid I have bad news. George says we cannot buy a new dishwasher.
Oh? That's too bad you never get called by one of those giveaway shows. You might win one.
Oh, I'm never lucky. I probably would know the answer to the question anyway.
Oh, they're not hard. A friend of my sister's got called the other night. She picked up the phone. A voice said, "Who is this?" She said, "Mildred Thompson," and she won $2,000.
Well, you see, I would have lost. I wouldn't have known what her name was. I'll get it, Katie.
Oh, thanks. I'll do the dishes by hand. It's been a long time, but maybe it'll come back to me.
Hello, Mrs. Cooper.
Oh, hi, Mr. Wood. Come on in.
Oh, thank you. I'm returning the roaster you lent me for our Thanksgiving turkey.
Oh, thank you. Say, with 11 children, Thanksgiving dinner must be quite an event at your house.
Oh, yes. And wouldn't you know, every one of us wants a leg.
Well, who finally gets them?
Mrs. Wood and I.
You must have real discipline.
Oh, no. Confidentially, it's sort of underhanded, really. As each child grew old enough to talk, we told him a different part of the turkey was the leg.
Why, Mr. Wood.
It was a dirty trick on our last child. That's all there was left.
Now, Mr. Wood, some of them are old enough to know better. Haven't they found out a turkey only has two legs?
Oh, that's part of the trick. We don't call it a turkey. We call it a centipede. It was a good idea. Well, goodbye, Mrs. Cooper. What was that?
Oh, Katie, was that the dishwasher again?
No, ma'am, that was me. I'm out of practice.
Well, try and watch it, Katie, or we'll be using paper plates. Our dishwasher's broken.
Oh, that's too bad, Mrs. Cooper.
You don't know where I can get a new one for nothing, do you?
I'm afraid not. Say, wait a minute.
Oh, I was only kidding.
Yes, I know, but a friend of mine has a radio program called His and Hers. Have you ever heard it?
No, I don't think so.
Well, they give away a dishwasher every week. And I think maybe I can get you on that show.
Oh, I don't know, Mr. Wood. I'm afraid I wouldn't be able to answer any of the questions.
Oh, of course you would. Every week some stupid moron wins a prize. And you're just as smart as they are.
What?
No, I mean, the questions aren't hard. You won't have any trouble.
Well, if it means a chance to win a dishwasher, maybe I should,
but
I...
You just leave everything to me. Now, where's your phone? Oh, here it is.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Wood. Let's talk this
over
first.
Don't you worry, Mrs. Cooper. It'll be all right.
But I really don't think that I should...
Hello? Oh, is that you, Smiley? This is Benjamin Wood. How are you? So, I wonder if you'd do me a little favor. Yeah, a couple of friends of mine like to get on His and Hers.
A couple?
Yeah, that's right. He's a banker. Good, yeah. The name is George Cooper.
Hey, wait a minute.
Fine. Thank you. Goodbye, Smiley.
No, Mr. Wood, wait!
Well, Mrs. Cooper, you're all set.
But, Mr. Wood, does George have to go on the show, too?
Oh, yes. His husband and wife teams compete together.
Oh, I don't know how George is going to take this.
Well, have him listen to the show. It's on tonight. He'll probably think it sounds like fun.
Well, I'll try, but couldn't I go on alone?
No, it's man and wife. That's why they call it His and Hers.
Well, I'm sure hers will be there, but I can't promise to deliver his.
Well, while Liz is working her way out of that spot, here's a way for you to work some mealtime magic this weekend. When you're turning that leftover turkey into croquettes or hash, here's a swell Jell-O salad that'll really pep it up. Cranberry and orange salad. Just dissolve one package of orange Jell-O in 1 3/4 cups of hot water and chill. Then put 1 medium orange and 2 cups of raw cranberries through the food chopper. Add 3 tablespoons of sugar and fold into the slightly thickened Jell-O. Chill in individual molds and serve on crisp lettuce. Grand and glorious shimmering... fruit-rich orange Jell-O combined with tart red cranberries. All six delicious Jell-O flavors are chock full of wonderful locked-in goodness. Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime. And that name, Jell-O, is a trademark. It's the property of General Foods, and it tells you that you're getting the genuine Jell-O gelatin dessert. Look for those big red letters on the box. They spell...
J-E-L-L-O.
And now, back to the Coopers. Well, Liz has committed George to appear with her on a radio quiz show called His and Hers in the hopes of winning an electric dishwasher. Well, the only trouble is, George doesn't know anything about it. Liz is going to broach the subject by letting him listen to the program on the air.
Well, George, we have a whole evening to ourselves. Let's stay home and listen to the radio.
Are you serious, Liz? You never liked to listen to the radio before.
Well, I just think we ought to listen to the radio. After all, it might not be here much longer. I'll just pick a station at random.
Why are you dialing so carefully to one station?
Well, I don't want my random to be hit or miss.
Well, as long as it isn't one of those horrible quiz shows.
Quiz shows?
Oh, if there's one thing I can't stand, it's a lot of silly characters making fools of themselves in front of a microphone.
Oh, really? I think they're a lot of fun.
How can a person with any self-respect appear on one of those things?
Now, ladies and gentlemen, our last contestants will come up to the microphone to compete for our big jackpot prize on His and Hers, Mr. and Mrs. Paul Roney.
Liz, that's a quiz show.
Now, can either of you tell me the answer to this question? Who was the author of the Monroe Doctrine?
Oh, now, that's an insult to his intelligence. Turn that thing off. Any fool knows who the author of the Monroe Doctrine is.
Sure, it was Monroe.
Do you know his first name?
Sure, Vaughn.
Racing with the moon, high above the midnight sun.
I give up.
George, I want to hear the rest of the show.
James Monroe is right, and Mr. and Mrs. Roney win the jackpot for tonight's His and Hers.
Good night. You mean both a man and his wife go through that?
Yes. Doesn't it sound like fun?
And now we'll announce the names of next week's contestants.
Oh, no.
What's the matter, Liz?
Oh, you're right, dear. It's silly. Turn it off.
Mr. and Mrs. Tom LaFever.
Oh, wait. I want to see who the suckers will be next week.
Dr. and Mrs. Charles Van Tassel.
And what other half-wits?
Mr. and Mrs. George Cooper.
Liz?
Well, let's go to a movie.
Liz, sit down.
I don't like the look in your eye, George. I can explain everything.
Well, it better be good.
Well, I wanted a dishwasher, and Mr. Wood knew the master of ceremonies, and he fixed it up for us.
Oh, fine. Well, maybe he can fix up a job for me when Mr. Atterbury hears about this. Oh, he'll love having his vice president on a quiz show. I'll get it. Hello?
Hello, George. How's the quiz kid?
Hello, Harry.
Just heard them say your name on the radio. Congratulations.
Look, Harry, we're not going
This is only the beginning, George. Maybe if you give yourself a home permanent, you'll be chosen queen for a day.
Queen for a... Now, wait a minute.
Well, goodbye, Queenie.
Liz?
Yes, Your Majesty?
That's not funny. In half an hour, everyone in town will know about this. Oh, another wise guy. Well, I'll tell him a thing or two. Yes, I know. Quiz kid. Queen for a day. Ha ha. And keep your smart answers to yourself.
George. This is Mr. Atterbury.
Oh, my gosh. It's Mr. Atterbury.
Well, goodbye, George.
You stay here, you silly dope.
What?
No, not you, Mr. Atterbury.
George. George, I just heard your name on the radio.
Yeah, well, I can explain everything, Mr. Atterbury.
I'm proud of you, George, boy.
Yes, but what did you say?
It's a stroke of genius. Excellent publicity for the bank.
You like the idea?
It's sensational. The kind of forward thinking we need. Show the public how intelligent bankers are. How did you ever think of the idea, George boy?
I don't know. It just came to me right out of the air.
Well, it was a great idea, and I'm proud of you, George boy. And talk to you at the bank tomorrow.
Yeah, well, goodbye, Mr. Atterbury.
Well, Was he mad, George boy?
No, he was pleased. He wants me to go on the show and prove how smart bankers are.
Oh.
I'm worried.
Oh, don't worry, dear. I'll be right there with you.
That's what I'm worried about.
George!
Hello, Mrs. Cooper.
Hello, Mr. Wood. Oh, you got me in a mess.
Oh, now, Mrs. Cooper.
I'm scared to death. The show's tonight, and I'm afraid I'll disgrace George for life. He could even lose his job over some stupid answer of mine.
Oh, no, really, Mrs. Cooper, you...
He'll have to give up his lovely office at the bank, and he'll lose his swivel chair. Just think, he'll have to go through all the rest of his life without a swivel.
Katie told me how upset you were. So I managed to get a list of answers to tonight's questions.
Where are they?
I have them right here. You see, I went down to visit Smiley, and when he wasn't looking, I accidentally snitched them off his desk.
What do you mean, accidentally?
Well, now, I inadvertently used the paper with the answers on it to wrap my chewing gum in. And then I threw it into the wastepaper basket, and then I left.
You left? How'd you get the paper back?
Well, now, the chewing gum happened to be attached to a piece of string. I didn't steal the answers. They just followed me down the hall.
Well, I understand, Mr. Wood, but I couldn't look at them. Not when I'm going to be on the show. That wouldn't be fair.
Well, I thought you'd probably feel that way about it.
Well, maybe just one little peek.
Yes, just one, huh? Here.
I'll just peek at the first question, that's all.
All right.
Oh, what do you know? I had the list upside down. I peeked at the last one by mistake. Now I guess I'll have to peek my way back up to the first one. Uh-huh. There. Got him.
Good, good. Can you remember?
Sure. Al Jolson, the sap runs every 2 years, uh-huh. John L. Lewis's eyebrows, and to scrape the barnacles off her hull.
That's right.
I wonder what the questions are. That one about the sap running must be about trees, huh?
What do you care as long as you have the answers? Oh, you're a cinch, Mrs.
Oh, this is wonderful, Mr. Wood. George is going to be so proud of me. Excited about the show. I don't know what I'm doing. Take a look at me before I go. Will you? Is my slip showing?
Yes.
How much?
All of it. You forgot to put your dress on.
Oh, my goodness. Here, help me with it, Katie.
All right.
All righty, honey?
In just a minute. Al Jolson, the sap runs every 2 years, John L. Lewis's eyebrows, to scrape the barnacles off her hull.
What?
Oh, nothing. Nothing.
Well, how do you feel, Liz?
Fine, fine. Come on, let's go. You know, this might sound funny, George, but I have a feeling I'm going to know all the answers.
All right, everybody, we're going on the air in just 2 seconds. Quiet.
Presenting that sensational new quiz show, His and Hers.
Yes, it's time once again to play that lovable, laughable radio game, His and Hers. And here's your master of ceremonies, Smiley Stembottom.
Good evening, everybody. This is old Smiley Stembottom. Here we go with another session of His and Hers. We have with us tonight three man and wife teams, Dr. and Mrs. Charles Van Tassel, Mr. Tom LaFever, attorney and Mrs. LaFever, and Mr. and Mrs. George Cooper.
Oh, get him, George boy!
Apparently, Mr. Cooper has some friends in the audience. Now, while our contestants are waiting in a room offstage, I'd like to announce that because we have such an intelligent group, a doctor, a lawyer, and a banker, we have thrown out the easy questions we were going to use and have substituted harder ones.
Oh, my goodness, you mustn't do that!
Please. Now, coming onto the stage are our first contestants. You must be Dr. Van Tassel.
That's right. And this is my wife.
Apparently, Mrs. Van is tickled by her own tassel. Is she a little nervous?
No. She always sounds like that.
Well, all right, here we go for our first question. Now, you only have one answer between you, so think carefully. Who discovered the Fountain of Youth and claimed he could live forever?
Ponce de Leon.
Absolutely right! And what do you say to that, Mrs. Van Tassel? I knew you would. Now you have 25 points and we'll go to the next question. What is your congressman?
We've been waiting in this room almost 20 minutes. They should call us pretty soon, huh?
Yes. Now, don't be nervous, Liz.
Well, I'm not nervous.
Well, let's go. Isn't someone knocking at the door?
No, that's your knees.
No, it is not. I'm as calm as a cucumber.
Really? Well, do you always smoke so many cigarettes at once?
What?
You have a cigarette in each hand.
Oh, I have? Well, I lit one of them for you.
Oh, thank you. Who's the one in your mouth for?
Oh, so I'm nervous. I should think you'd be, too, though those questions are liable to be tough.
Don't worry, George. I have a feeling I'm going to know every answer.
Mr. and Mrs. Cooper, we're ready for you.
Oh, here we go. Come on, George.
And here we come, our third contestants, Mr. and Mrs. Cooper.
You tell them, George boy! Something you should know.
Usher, please remove whoever's making that disturbance.
Yes, Chief. But hang on. Oh, you don't
understand. Now, right up here to the microphone. Are you all ready for these questions? They're pretty hard.
Oh, I'll bet they're not so hard.
Well, we'll see. One answer for the two of you, remember. Now, the first question. Who discovered the Fountain of Youth and claimed he could live forever?
Al Jolson.
Oh, Liz.
I'm so sorry. That's wrong, Mrs. Cooper.
Is it?
Yes, but let's go on to question number two.
Okay.
Question number two. This is political. What is your congressman's term of office?
The sap runs every 2 years.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, Liz, have you gone crazy?
Something's wrong, George, but I'll get the rest of them.
Well, let me answer this one.
All right.
Question number three. In the Trojan War, what did the Greeks hide in to gain access to the city of Troy?
Well, George?
I don't know.
Well, what did the Greek army hide in?
John L. Lewis's eyebrow?
Wrong again. You now have a total score of nothing.
George, you're a stupid numbskull, boy!
No coaching from the audience, please. And now for your last question.
I'm sure to get one of these right.
Why did the French people put Marie Antoinette under the sharp blade of the guillotine?
To scrape the barnacles off her hull.
Mr. and Mrs. Cooper, you are the first husband and wife team ever to miss all four questions. Congratulations!
Thank you.
Oh, Liz.
And now all the contestants will stand by for our jackpot question.
Liz, what's the matter with you?
Oh, George, I had all the answers memorized, but they must have switched the questions on me.
Oh, fine.
Attention! And now, before the jackpot question, here are the standings of our contestants. The Van Tassels have 75 points. The Lefevers have 50 points. And the Coopers have blip points. Now, since our jackpot question counts 100, whoever gets it right will win our giant prize, an electric dishwasher.
Hey, we still got a chance, George.
And tonight, we're adding a special prize to go with the dishwasher, 300 dirty dishes. Now, here is the jackpot question. In the Revolutionary War, while Washington was crossing the Delaware River, what did his lieutenant say to him?
Oh, we don't know it, Liz. Let's get out of here.
We can't go yet.
Oh, come, someone must know it. When Washington crossed the Delaware, what did his lieutenant say to him?
I'm going.
Oh, for goodness sake, George, sit down.
All right, that's right.
Lucille, what's on the fire tonight?
Romance, Robert. Come with me and we shall see how things would be commercially in gay Paris. Wee wee.
Wee wee.
Okay, Billy. Ah, here I am in Paris. And here comes a handsome French Bob Lemont.
Ah, mademoiselle. Je vous aime, je vous adore. Vous êtes mon cœur.
Well. There's only one answer for a man like you. Kissez moi.
Vous êtes ma chérie.
I am your chérie?
Oui. You are also my strawberry, raspberry, orange, lemon, and lime.
That was a sneaky one.
Parlez-moi d'amour.
Oh, he knows the latest songs, too. Ah, babe, holdez moi close to ya. Pressez moi. Squeezez-moi.
Go on.
That's all there is. There ain't no moi. Filez-moi mon bordelais, toujours la même chose de la petite marmite.
Well, I did not know you could speak the French.
Neither did I. What did I say?
Repeat, and I will translate.
I'll try. Filet mignon de la vache suisse et vive la différence.
Translation. Jello is so delicious, it makes you think of the real ripe fruit itself.
Is that what I said? Well, try this. Je ne comprends, comprenez, si bonnet, matinée, patinée, schmatinée.
And the translation. The goodness is locked in by a special process, and it can't get out till your first delectable spoonful.
Oh, yeah? Pâté de foie gras, ooh la la, ha ha ha, ha ha ha. Kick that around.
Okay, translation. Look for the big red letters on the box.
I thought so. Good night, Bob.
You have been listening to My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, and based on characters created by Isabel Scott Rohring. Tonight's transcribed program was produced and directed by Jess Oppenheimer, who wrote the script with Madeline Pugh and Bob Carroll Jr. Original music was composed by Marlon Skiles and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. The part of Katie the Maid was played by Ruth Parrott. Watch for Lucille Ball in the Columbia picture Miss Grant Takes Richmond. Be sure to listen to Lucille Ball in My Favorite Husband again next week, presented by...
J-E-L-L. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O pudding.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tapioca pudding, yes, sirree. Log cabin syrup for mine. With that real Northwoods flavor so fine, oh so fine. Blended cane and pure maple, it's tops on your table. That real maple flavor does pancakes a favor. It's log cabin syrup for mine.
Yes, Log Cabin is the syrup with that delicious Northwoods maple flavor. It's America's most popular quality table syrup. Enjoy it on waffles or pancakes for Sunday night suppers, as well as at breakfast.
It's Log Cabin syrup for mine.
Listen to Lucille Ball and My Favorite Husband again next week. Bob Lemond speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
A presentation of RadioClassics.com. Programs are copyright their respective owners. All rights reserved.